There is a podcast brewing that's about to take over podcasting for good. The only podcast that you are going to need to tune into day in, day out, is the Member Guest Podcast.
If I can hit it down the middle of the fairway, that's great. But again, with the driver right now, the driver sucks.
Daily, and you're listening to the Member Guest Podcast. Rip it.
Member Guest Podcast listeners, hello. This is your one and only host for today. It's Jordan Hagel. couple updates. The reason it's just me tonight, it's busy over here at MGP. Like we've talked about multiple times before, we're a bootstrapped organization. We all have day jobs. We do this for fun. It's a passion project. It's a hobby. And the boys got new gigs. Mr. Andy Thomas, Mr. Tony Hermes, going through some new jobs. Congrats to them. And life just gets busy. And so right now, I figured I'd do a solo podcast and talk about the golf rollback. It's been a topic of conversation. It's also something that's more, you know, what is your opinion on it? Not something that is really black and white. And so, you know, we asked a lot of you, our listeners, like, what do you think? What are your thoughts? What are your questions? And so I put a couple hours of research into the topic, and we're going to jump into it. And so this episode and every other episode in basically November and December, sponsored by Swannies, our friends over at Swannies Golf. You can use member guest 30 code just in time for the holidays if you would like. Great hoodies, great apparel, great people, Minnesota company, hashtag one of us. So let's just first talk about what the golf rollback is and kind of what both sides are saying, and get into a little bit of the timeline, because it's been something that has been talked about for a while, and then it kind of, you know, people forget about it, and then it comes back, and now we know what's going to happen. The facts are out, like maybe not 100%, but generally speaking, we know what's going on. So back in May of 2018, project launched to study the impact of hitting distance in golf, because really the game was getting longer, right? February 2020, Distance Insights report released detailing hitting distance trends in golf. February of 2021, specific areas of interest proposed, equipment rule changes issued regarding distance. And then March of 2022, updated areas of interest released on hitting distance in golf. March of 2023, model local rule proposed for golf balls in elite competitions only. And so this is kind of, and then obviously December of 2023, which is now, a universal golf ball rollback announced to take effect in 2028. So we're talking about something that won't go into effect for 5 years from now. But going back to March of this year, when the local rule proposed for golf balls in elite competitions. So I think generally speaking, most people thought, hey, this is going to affect PGA Tour pros. It's going to affect mini tours. It's going to affect, you know, elite level golfers. And that's okay. Let's leave the, you know, the folks that are going out and playing a couple times during the week, or maybe just the weekend warriors, let's leave them alone. We already can't hit the ball that far. It doesn't matter. And then December 2023, basically now, comes out, and this is going to affect for everybody, and it's a universal rollback. So one of the questions was, how does this affect golf globally? And it's a universal rollback. So this is something in 2028 that every single golfer across the globe is going to have to adhere by with the new rules. And so real quick, I mean, like, my thoughts on this, I think my friend Rick Helling, who is also a frequent guest of the pod, who also shot 3 under Pioneer Creek today against me playing banker. And I'm not going to tell my soon to be wife how much money I lost, but let's just say Rick ended up buying me lunch, 3 under on Wednesday, December 6th, 2023 at Pioneer Creek in Minnesota. Yes, we played golf outside today. The golf course was open, and Rick just went on an absolute tear. Shout out to Beef. But we were talking about this today in the cart, and after the round, and he and I kind of saw eye to eye on this, which is nobody's going to be able to convince me that this is good for golf. And I was like 100% on board on that. Now, after seeing some people's responses, talking to some people, getting opinions, I'm like 90% still on my stance. And the reason why I think about it this way is we're talking about a sport that over the last decade has, I don't know the stats on this, but arguably seen the most growth out of any professional sport out there. And doing it during a time when arguably, and it's not an argument in my opinion, the best golfer of all time wasn't really playing that much. Like, yeah, Tiger won the Masters in 2019, but you know, like generally speaking, he didn't play a bunch, and we're still seeing the sport in the best spot it's ever been. Why is that? My personal opinion is it because golf is fun, and it's a lot more fun when people can hit the ball far. And the other side of the coin there is that, you know, you saw guys like DeChambeau, right, come out and are just pounding the ball. And, you know, going out to Augusta National and calling it a par 67 or whatever he called it. And he didn't even make the cut that year, you know, and he's trying to hit bombs everywhere across these courses. And yes, he did see some success. He won a major, if not multiple majors. And, you know, the trend in distance really started to grow. But at the end of the day, in my opinion, golf is more than just how far you can hit the ball. Obviously, it helps. Right? Like the longer you drive the ball, the less club you have to take in, the higher percent chance you're going to be closer to the pin, the better scores you're going to shoot. But at the end of the day, in my opinion, like golf is, it's driving, but it's also ball striking. It's also putting. It's also short game. It's also mental game. And so why are we focusing on one aspect of the game when there's probably a lot more that goes into it? Again, just in my opinion. One thing I should say the main thing and the main reason that I saw people justifying, you know, why this is good for the game, if I were to just, you know, flip my bias for a second. And it's because there are a lot of golf courses that quite frankly cannot purchase more land or create more golf course for major tournaments and professional players to play at. And the argument has been, if the trend continues this way, they're simply going to be too easy of golf courses. Now, I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on this. I'm speaking from, you know, being an avid golfer, being a fan of the game, knowing what I know, some of the research that I've done. And again, my argument with that is, aren't there other ways to make golf courses harder? Can't we grow out the rough? Can't we make the greens run a little bit quicker? I don't understand why, again, during a time that the game is the best that it has ever been, in my opinion, and a lot of people's opinions, and just looking at, you know, the trajectory of the game, I don't understand why we need to make a change. Now, if we start to look at the flip side of the coin, and again, had a lot of people write in with questions. We're going to get to them, but I texted, you know, people that I would consider elite golf minds, if you will. My friend Tyler Fitzel at Second Swing. I asked him about his thoughts, and for those who know Tyler, they know he's one of the biggest golf guys out there. He knows everything about the game. And his first thing that he said was just, the faster you swing, the more distance you're going to lose, right? Which is when you start to dig into the details of the rollback and, you know, getting to ball speed and type of ball and all those types of things, that's what it comes down to. The faster you swing, the more distance you're going to lose. So generally speaking, it's about 5%. So if you drive the ball 200 yards, you are now going to lose 10 yards of distance. If you drive it 300 yards because you swing faster and the ball goes further, you're going to lose 15 yards of distance. And from a competition standpoint, the folks that I've seen on the side of the house that have said, you know, they think it's a good thing, they say from a competition standpoint, they think that it brings kind of the field back to more even playing. My thought on that is, well, what about the guys that have trained to take advantage of that part of the game? Is it really that disproportionate for, you know, the fact that someone can go out there, train really, really hard, hit the ball really far. They still have to figure out the other aspects of the game. But like, are we just taking that away? Like, is there any other sport out there that we do this in? I saw the argument that the NBA moved the 3-point line back, right? But like, Rick made a good point today. He's like, they don't change the football field or the baseball field. Like, they change the stadium, right? But the actual field stays the same. It's hard for me to wrap my head around. And when, you know, people were writing in and kind of saying like, this isn't, at the end of the day, they don't think it's going to make that big of a difference, right? For most amateurs out there. And they might be right. But again, I think people want to hit the ball further. And why are we taking distance off of, you know, a 20 handicap player? If we really want to roll the golf ball back for pros, and that's what, you know, the elite mind of the PGA Tour and LIV Golf and, you know, all the other golf associations want to do, and they think that that's the right thing to do, by all means do it. But why the amateurs? Why us? Why are we now penalized and, you know, playing with the, you know, disadvantages that maybe a pro would have? And I guess that is what makes golf beautiful, right? Is the fact that we as amateurs, elite amateurs, like any golfer can play the same driver that Tiger Woods can play with the same shaft. We can play the exact same ball. And so I get kind of keeping everything the same, but if the argument is because we need courses to be able to host major championships because they have all this history, and like, that just doesn't sit right with me. Getting into some of the questions that people wrote in, S. Gordon 13, pros will make the adjustments, et cetera. And as an example, Fitzpatrick gaining 15 plus yards the last couple of years. That's the other thing that I think about is pros are always going to make an adjustment, right? If you roll the golf ball back, they're just going to find a way to hit it further again and again, or they're going to make an adjustment in somewhere else of their game. They are that good. Right. So I don't think that is going to make that big of a difference at the end of the day. And here's a good one. Do we even care? I care. Like I care. I think a lot of people are going to care. The hard part about stuff like this is we're not going to know for 5 more years. And even in 5 years, you know, when it does go into effect, I was thinking about this today. How do you mandate it? Or how do you make sure that people are playing the right balls and the new balls? And that's what I'm really curious about. You know, how can you go out and play? Like if you're playing in a Friday game or you're just playing with your buddies and, you know, you're all like elite players and some guy's using a Titleist Pro V1 from, you know, 2020 and it goes 15 yards further. How long is that going to be a problem for? Is it going to take 5 years to kind of weed out the old balls, 10 years, 20 years? I have no idea. There's got to be tens of millions of golf balls out there in circulation. I care. Another really good point was, does the ball spin the same off of a wedge, the feel on the greens? Like there's more than just the distance to the ball component. And I think if you start to just for a second, not even think about the distance that you're losing in order to make a ball not go as far, the core most likely is going to have to be softer, or the face is going to have to be different, which is definitely going to affect the way that the ball rolls. When you putt, it's going to affect, you know, the amount of spin that you can put on the ball. And so I still think every time that I try and see the other side of this, I go back to, it just doesn't resonate with me. I really don't get it. And then are there going to be more consequences to this change that we're not thinking about right now? How much has the game changed in the last 5 years, and how much more will it change in the next 5 years that we can't even foresee, right? Like, that's something that is going to be really, really interesting to track, you know, going up until 2028. Jack Riester, an elite player from Winsong, has also been a guest on the podcast. He says he's a fan of it. He says he thinks he needed it to happen. So he's glad they took the step. He says, selfishly, bifurcation would have sucked because I would have had tournaments with the MLR ball and regular play where it wouldn't have been required. So that would have been weird. So I do understand that, kind of back to what I said earlier. It's like, if you're going to do it for everybody, or nobody, is really what he's saying. And he's team rollback. He says he thinks, it was on an unsustainable path of distance gains, so they had to put the marker in the ground somewhere. I love Jack and I trust his opinion, but again, I disagree. And the reason I disagree is I think eventually, when it comes to any sport, we're always getting better. We're getting faster. We're getting stronger. If you play this out 100 years from now, aren't people going to continue to hit the ball further and further? I mean, are we going to have the same issue 50 years from now? I mean, I don't know, but I would assume so. And so I just, at the end of the day, I think when golf is at its peak, don't change it. And we are. And I would rather see people move up tees or play the more appropriate tees for their game. When we start to talk about amateurs and how it will affect amateurs, you know, the majority of golfers in the world are amateurs, right? Like the pros, I mean, we're talking about, you know, a couple thousand golfers that are pro golfers, or collegiate level golfers. You know, there are millions of us are all amateurs. When it comes to amateurs, play the right tees. I mean, if we're talking about distance being an issue, losing distance or gaining distance, like they did the whole play it forward bit. I can't remember how many years ago that was, but they were trying to get people to like step up, play the up tees or play tees back if you're a better player, and it just didn't work. And so like now we're changing the golf ball. Not sure I understand that. Andy Thomas, Mr. AT, coming in hot, says, nothing comes to mind other than I don't think it's going to matter that much. And I would say this is probably like what half of the people out there think is, yeah, it's not really going to matter. You know, like for most people who hit it 250, like the distance, you know, we're talking about is what, around 10 yards, 10% would be 25 yards. Yeah. 12 and a half yards off the tee. Does it really make that big of a difference? Well, I would garner to say that if you hit it 250 off the tee and you're not very long already, now you're going to be hitting more longer irons into greens. The game's going to become that much more difficult for you. Are you going to enjoy it as much if you're hitting a 5-iron into a green as opposed to a 7-iron? Probably not. And is that going to take away from, you know, the amateurs that play the game? Is it going to force them to go up to up tees? I don't know. And it's going to take a little bit. It's going to take a little bit of time for us to see all of this come to fruition. I think, you know, to kind of wrap this up, and I also want to say thank you if you're still listening, 19 minutes in, first solo pod I've ever recorded. It's really, really difficult. I feel like Chris Collinsworth talking to myself and my thoughts. But I think to wrap this up, one, we have 5 years, right? Two, if you really wanted to figure out like what kind of change this will make to your game, there are balls on the market that already adhere to these rules and standards. Balls on the market at a rollback. Let's see. I'm pretty sure I saw somebody say that there was a Pinnacle out there that you could buy right now that actually adheres to the new rules. So if you really wanted to go out there, you could do some research and figure out which balls are actually going to work with the new rules. Go see it and go play it and see what it's like and see how much you either love it, hate it, or maybe not even know the distance. I think for me, a person that's really into stats and analytics and spin rate and all that stuff, all the things I've been doing the last 2-3 years to understand like how far I can hit my 8-iron, how far I can hit my 4-iron, how I can take spin off the ball, add spin to the ball. Those are going to have to be all new things now that I have to go out there and do in a few years. And I truly do think the biggest effect it's going to have is on those quote unquote elite amateurs. So somebody that's like a, you know, call it scratch golfer to maybe a, I don't know, 7 or 8 handicap, right? The person that puts in the time and the work and goes out and, you know, knows how to play their ball. I think that's who it's going to affect the most. And quite frankly, I think that's who is really good for the sport of golf. Those are the avid golfers. Those are the people that join clubs. Those are the people that, you know, go to golf tournaments. Those are the people that are really into the sport. And overall, I still think that it's going to be a detriment to the game. I want to hear everybody's thoughts on this. Please write in, please comment, please let us know what you think. And it's definitely going to be something that we will monitor in the upcoming years leading up to 2028 on the Member Guest podcast. Some other news just in the game, two big things. If you haven't heard, John Rahm's going to go to LIV. If it's not officially confirmed, it should be. So he did not commit to the American Express in January. That's one thing. Two, it's rumored that he's getting like $600 million. I would be upset if he didn't go to LIV for that money. At the end, but like this is becoming a problem. I think maybe 3-4 months ago, people kind of thought LIV might come and go and like the PGA and LIV are going to work stuff out. It does not look like that anymore. It does not look like the PGA and LIV are going to find a way anytime soon and to work things out. And that's really unfortunate. Again, talking about a game that over the last 3 to 5 years has absolutely skyrocketed in popularity, to now have something like the golf rollback paired with the LIV drama and now starting to take into consideration when you go and watch a golf tournament, you're not always going to have the best field out there. Like at the end of the day, you are not going to see the best players in the world. That really sucks. It really, really sucks. The second thing is I don't think Tiger Woods is Nike anymore. He was seen wearing FootJoy, and it's rumored that TaylorMade is starting their own apparel line. And it sounds like Tiger's going full TaylorMade. How's that going to take a hit to Nike? I mean, they got out of the golf equipment game, I don't know, probably 10 years ago now, maybe more, and just started focusing on apparel. If they're losing Tiger, like how soon before they lose Rory? And when they lose those two guys, then what? We might be seeing the end of, you know, a lot of Nike golf, and I don't know, I could be wrong, but when you lose a guy like Tiger, I can't imagine that does good things. It'll be really interesting to see what TaylorMade does, on the apparel side of the house. It'll be interesting to see how that unfolds and the drama with it. So, thank you guys for listening again. Please send in your thoughts, comments on the golf rollback. Again, I'll say it. I don't think it's good for the game. I don't think anyone's going to be able to convince me that it's good for the game. And I'm going to die on my hill of why make changes when we're on an upwards trajectory of popularity and the game being in a good spot. That being said, a lot of the elite minds that I know say it's not going to matter. They like to see that it's happening. And there's been a lot of back and forth between the pros on Twitter and the internet and in interviews. So won't go into effect until 2028, everybody. It's going to be 5 years. But if you want to start prepping for it, go out there and find a pinnacle or play something else. And you know, start working on your short game and start working on your long irons, because in a few years, we're all going to need it. Everybody, have a great December. Have a great Christmas. Thank you, as always, for listening. We will be back with Andy next week and hopefully Tony and Johnny. And we are going to be talking about holiday Christmas gifts. Because if there's one thing I can assure you, it's that we buy a lot of golf stuff and we know what your boyfriends, fiancés, husbands, significant others, girlfriends, the golfer in your life is going to love this Christmas. I have a couple of trading aids in mind for those who would like to know. So thank you again. We will see you next week on the next episode of the Member Guest Podcast.